All right. Good afternoon. Welcome everyone to this session on DAX. Thank you all for coming. I know it's right after lunch, so I try to keep everyone awake with throwing a bunch of complex DAX expressions at you. My name is Casper de Jonge, and I'm a program manager on the SQL Server Analysis Services team. We build Power Pivot and the DAX language. Today we're going to talk about solving complex business problems with DAX. And they asked me, hey, can you do a level 400 session on the PASBA conference that was last week and the TechEd conference this week? And I was really thinking really hard about, okay, what should I do? Because there's a lot of interesting things to talk about in DAX. So I was thinking about, okay, we hear a lot of people who are trying to solve things like median, percentile, those kinds of things. And I was thinking, okay, I could show those, how you do those things, and how you solve those problems. But those are patterns. Those are tricks. Once you know them, once you can implement them continuously. And also, I don't know if you've guys seen it, but Marco Russo and Alberto Ferrari's new website, daxpatterns.com, allows you to see a whole bunch of those patterns in a lot of the details. So the tricks will be shown there. And also, Rob Corley's upcoming book, DAX Alchemy, also talks about these DAX patterns. So I thought, okay, let me do a little bit different. So what I'm going to do today is show you some of the complex DAX problems, but show you what's happening behind the scenes. What is going on in our engine? And how do we get to the number that you see? And it's using the most important concept, the thing that you really need to understand in DAX, context, to get to these numbers. Everything in DAX is around context, manipulating, playing, working with context. So again, this is a level 400 session, so I kind of expect you guys all to know Power Pivot a bit, DAX, and also context. I will do some summaries as well, so it's going level 300 up to 400, but that's what we're going to talk about today. So what are we actually going to do? Well, we're going to do a quick recap on what is evaluation context. Then we're going to look at a few examples. For example, we're going to do a running total. But how do you work with the filter context that is there to override running total? How are you going to use the context to create a tool table? Tool table is meaning something similar like calculated members. We're going to look at automatic time filters. How can you use context to your advantage here? And we're going to use special context. Time intelligence functions. Those are very interesting, and those are great, but we have some tricks inside our engine that actually allows you to use those expressions. Then we're going to look at, okay, how can I use everything that I've seen before to my advantage to solve a 4-4-5 table? So the first thing that I want to do is, I've stole two copies of my new book that is up and coming from the bookstore here, and I'm going to give away. So one question that I have for you, if you have it right, you can get one. What are the two types of evaluation context? Yeah, you can get one after you can get it afterwards. I have one more later to give away later. So what is evaluation context? It's kind of a recap of the most important concept in DAX. Every DAX expression is evaluated in a context. That is the most important thing. Wherever you have a measure, either it's in a calculated table, either it's in a query, or in a pivot table, it is in a context. And that is going to be executed against. We have two different types of context. We have row context. Rows are a DAX expression evaluated in every row inside this table. And I have a lot of examples of both throughout the next slides. The initial context for a formula, DAX formula, that is being evaluated in row context is the current row it's in. If you ask, give me the value for a particular column, it will give you the value for that particular column in the row that you're in. And I'll show you examples of that later on. So you can access things like table column. You cannot do that if your measure is in filter context. Because filter context is something that is being used to calculate a measure in a particular query context. Either it's a cell inside a pivot table, which is under the cover sending a query to a DAX engine. It's a query, a DAX query you write. I don't know how many of you went to Alberto's session on querying in DAX, but every query that is being sent in DAX is in a row context. And to access values of something else inside this inside the table, you need to use a function like filter or sum or max or last date or those things you need to access to get the values. Otherwise, DAX will not know what you're doing. So two different types. We're going to spend most of our time in filter context because that's the one that's being used the most. There are some very interesting cases when you have row context like calculated columns, but you can also create DAX expressions that are actually a combination of the two, and we'll look at those as well. Probably you've all worked and seen them, but you didn't really know what they were called or what really was going on the covers. So the first thing that I want to do is let's talk about running total. Let's switch back to my other machine. So what I have here is a simple workbook with a few tables. I have a date table, I have an invoice table, political geography, product table, and a device table. Not too many rows. My invoice table has 15 million. That's not too much. Simple to set up. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do a running total. The first thing that I want to show you is I want to add my sum of revenue measure. What is happening right now? So what is happening right now is I have a measure called sum of revenue column, and I put it on the pivot table, and what it now shows you is a measure where the context is nothing. There's no context because there's nothing on rows and on columns. So what happens automatically is it will now scan the entire 15 million rows in the invoice table and give me a sum of that. That's it. That's what was happening. Now, if I add something else to it, like from the date table, my year column, I now see that it automatically filters down each and every cell in the date table by year. I didn't have to do anything. The DAX engine took care of that for me. I didn't have to write a special measure, but the same measure, the same formula has now been executed four times. One, two, three, four. Same measure. And this measure is also, when I drag in month, same thing happens here. I can actually see what happens in each and every cell. Excel gives me a nice hint. If I hover over it, select it, hover over it, you can see what happens here. 2010, 4. So 4 in 2010 is what is being used to filter this particular cell. So the same measure is now being evaluated for every cell inside this table. And again, you didn't have to write what it needs to do. It knew because of the rows and the columns that you're in. This could also work against us because the DAX formula automatically knows what it needs to do here. But when I want to do a running total, I do not want to be filtered by this year and this month. I want to do something else. If I want to do a running total, I'll show you the finished formula, the finished expression, and then we'll go back and look at what it means. But let me select the first 6 months. The running sum is 165 million. And you can see that corresponds with this number. So what we now have done here is we have used the context to our advantage. But because we used the context to our advantage, we were able to say, give me the running total up until now. Not just filter on the current year and month where we're in. How do you do that? And how does that work in DAX? What are the things that we put in play here? And this is where DAX becomes interesting. Let me switch back to slides. So what I have here is my sum of invoice revenue calculation. You see it on the left-hand side, left-hand bottom side. What happens when we do this? So I've dragged in the measure on the pivot table. I've dragged in year and month. What happens automatically is filter context gets applied in our formula engine, and both the tables will be put in memory. They are already in memory, but put into play for the formula engine, our engine that actually calculates the DAX expressions. What happens is, because DAX is everything is in memory, it needs to know what it needs to do. So what happens is the context gets applied. So the context gets applied by 2012. The year is selected 2012 for this particular cell, and the month is selected 2012. That means that this row inside the date table is being selected. because the row is being checked and because we created relationships in our model, it actually knows what is related to this thing and what else do we know. What rows are being what rows are in play for this particular context? And you can see that those two particular rows are being selected inside the invoice table. And that means that the sum is actually being used for these two particular columns. That is how it works inside the engine. Now, we want to work with this. We don't want to use this because we want to do a running sum. So what can we do? Well, the biggest and most interesting calculation that we all have seen and used is the calculate function. And the calculate function allows us to put things in special context. And I call this local context. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a local context for this measure. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say calculate the sum of revenue, but filter this calculation where all the rows in the date table are true, meaning the entire date table. Often we say when you use calculate, you're overriding filter context. And that is true, but it's not ignoring filter context. Because what happens is we now tell our engine, for sum of revenue, the first parameter in this calculate argument, we want you to use all the rows in the date table. And of course, because we use all the rows in the date table, it follows the relationship to the invoice table, which results in the entire table. So this is very similar to not having a filter on it. But it's not the same, because this is the first step going forward into our running total. Because instead of every row in this table, what I really want is I want to see all the dates up until now. How do I get all the dates up until now? Well, the interesting thing, and here's where things sometimes get confusing for a lot of folks, is when I change my calculation to this, is we're changing the filter context for local context. So what I'm doing now is I'm calculating the sum of revenue where, for all the rows inside the date table date is smaller or equal than max date table date. Now things get interesting. Max date table date. Where does this get this max from? What is it doing? And the interesting thing here is this max is not using the local context that we created. Because the local context we created is of sum of revenue. That is where local context is being applied. The max is still using the outside context, the thing that is being created by the pivot tables. So max date table date will still be automatically filtered to the max date in the current context, in this case 2012-2. So what now happens is we're creating a new filter, and you see the table on the left, this date table that we're using, is everything in my entire table up until the current row. And that automatically returns in the invoice table, and that returns in all the values that are being shown here. So we have local context, which you can create for the first argument inside the calculate expression. That local context is only applied to that particular measure, nothing else. And things get more interesting when you start nesting calculations. So let's take a look. And this is the expression that I wrote. Interestingly enough, this is not the first expression that I wrote. When I started writing down this measure, I actually wrote this. Calculate sum of revenue for all date table where date table date small or equal to max date table. It's almost the same, but it's not 100% the same. When you write this, you get this. A function max has been used in a true-false expression that is used as a table filter expression. This is not allowed. That's what the error message. We're going to change this error message, but to make it actually useful. How many of you have seen this error message? Yeah, quite a few. So why is it giving me this error message? Why is it doing this? The most interesting thing about DAX is the expression that you write is most often not the expression that is being sent to the engine. We love, on the product team, a thing we call syntax sugar. So what actually happens is when you write this, we actually change it to this. This looks very familiar to the one that I wrote earlier. This is almost the same. The only difference here is the old date table that I wrote originally, and that's going to be ignored. The most interesting thing that we have in here is we have the same max function here, right? Our problem is, because this is not what you originally wrote, we changed it under the covers, it could get ambiguous. It could get ambiguous on what max means. We cannot figure that out. In this case, we could probably figure it out because it's a pretty straightforward scenario. But as soon as you start using complex sumx functions or filters or generate functions or those kinds of interesting things where you start nesting a lot of the context, we don't know anymore. And we can guess, but if you guess, you get wrong results. And there's one thing worse in BI than the worst thing in BI that you can do is give wrong results. Because, yeah, that could lead to disastrous things. So we don't want to do that. So in this case, we just throw up our hands and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you want. Please make it more clear. And we're going to work on this error message and make it more clear as well for the users to actually make, okay, well, what can I do to fix this? So let's look at another example. So another example that I can do is, let me drag in year and month again, sum of revenue. And I want to calculate the sales for 2010. And this works, it's pretty straightforward. So we see always the sales are in 2010. That's what my measure does. And we'll look at the syntax a little bit later, but sales 2010. Now I have a similar measure that's called sales 2011. Let's drag that in. And this one doesn't work. So we have 2011 here, and it shows me the values of 2010. Why is that? What is going on? So let's take a quick look into those calculations, what those are. So the thing that we have here is, I have a date table and an invoice table. It's pretty similar to what we saw earlier. This is the expression, first, local context gets applied again. But because I wrote an expression to override the local context, to create local context for this expression, to override the other context, I'm now saying, calculate the sum of revenue, but create new local context for this expression where date table year is 2010. And what it's doing now is it's saying, okay, whatever you had previously for year on a filter, just ignore that and use whatever I'm telling you. So what it's doing now is automatic selecting 2010. It's important to observe that the month is still being used as a filter. So the month that was being used in a pivot table in the cells, we had year and month on rows, those are still there. The month is still there. We only overwritten the year. So whatever is not explicitly called out in these calculate arguments are still there. So in this case, this is work. This is what we expect to happen. Now, things get more interesting. Let's say I do this. Calculate sales of 2010, my previous measure that I had, and I'm due date table years 2011. So what happens now is, okay, DAX is starting. It says, okay, I'm going to calculate this expression, but before I go anywhere else, I'm going to prepare my data. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, you don't want your filter context to be applied for year. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to set it to 2011. So it's going to be set to 2011 too. But now it's going to try and continue and see, okay, we're going to unwrap. We're going to start looking into deeper down into what is actually going on. So we're unwrapping this thing. And now you see calculate, sum of revenue, date table years 2010, comma, date table years 2011. What is happening? DAX just ignorantly continues to the journey that you've set him on because it's now starting on the second calculate. And it now says, oh, yeah, you want to override the year with 2010, and it will do that. So what actually happens is when you start nesting calculates, when you start nesting things, DAX starts going from the outside in. The first thing what happens is the filter context is being applied by either a query or a pivot table, the cells, is being applied first. Then the next nested calculate starts. In this case, 2011 gets applied. Now I'm wrapping it around with another calculate, and 2010 gets applied. So it goes from the outside in as soon as you start nesting calculations. And that is an important thing. I've seen several questions about people asking on my blog, saying, hey, I have these kinds of expressions. And this is a simplified example. Usually things get more interesting when you get into the real world, but it's very important to know that context always moves from the outside to the inside. And that's what's happening here. Context moves from outside to inside. When nesting context, the innermost filter always wins. So remember, and also an interesting thing is to remember is, when you start nesting calculates, calculate sum of revenue, where the first filter is day table year, for the other calculate is day table year 2011, that is very different than when you do calculate sum of revenue, comma, day table 2010, comma, day table 2011. And the difference between the two is, the first is continuously overriding for every step the filter context. The second one isn't like an and. You say, calculate the sum of revenue, where date year is 2010, and date table year is 2011, which will not result in any results. It just won't work. Let's take a look at my next example. So one of the things that we have here is a tool table. And a tool table, if those of you who are familiar with multidimensional, is quite similar to what we used to calculate members for. In this case, what I want to do, and it's a cheap surrogate, but it's somewhat similar. What I want to do here is I have a table called revenue target and revenue to target, which I load into the data model by creating a calculated link table. You see it here in the model. And what I want to do is I want to create... Oh, thank you. So let me go back. So I have this tool table here. Revenue, target, revenue to target with a specific sort order. I've loaded this into the data model. Same thing now happens inside the data model. So now I can start using these values inside the... inside my pivot tables. So let's go to the tool table, and what I want to see here is by region, I'm using my type column that I created in my calculated column. And the other thing that I've set up here is, by the way, is sort by order column, because I want to make sure that revenue goes first and then target and then revenue to target. So you can say sort by order column. You can say sort my type by my sort order. Then it will automatically be applied in pivot tables and in PowerView. So drag types on columns. And now what I can do is just add one single measure called tool, which automatically calculates, based on what's on the rows and on the columns, the value that you want. So in this case, for the central region, I want to see the revenue, I want to see the target, and I want to see the revenue to target. Interesting example of these things is, for example, if you want to have, you create one calculated, one link table that says year-to-date, year-over-year growth, previous year, those kinds of things, and you want to visualize them, you can put them in the filters, or you can put them into scenarios like that, and then it's very easy to switch between the ones in visualizations. But what happens here? How does this work? And this is another case where you can actually start using this filter context to your advantage. One of the interesting things here is Excel gets a little bit confused by this because it tells me, wait, relationships between tables may be needed. Well, in this case, what I'm doing is I'm not using any relationships. My tools table, the one in here, does not have any relationships to anything. But I can still use that in my DAX arguments. I can still use this in my DAX examples. So how do I create this? How can I get to my pivot tables? How can I get these values out of pivot tables? So in this case, what happens again, we have a separate tool table, not related to anything. These are the three values in it. As soon as I put this on a pivot table, again, filter context will be applied. Every cell has one or more values of this table. If you go into the first column, that was revenue, revenue will be selected. And I can ask in DAX, what is the value for this type column? And the value for type column is called revenue. It's revenue. That is the value that is right there currently selected in that cell. And if it's revenue, I want you to calculate this expression, sum of revenue. So you can ask for whatever's in the context. And there are many, many different scenarios where you can do, but as soon as you start doing sum of revenue, the normal context will get applied, the date table will come into play, the invoice table will come into play, and automatically those two will be synced up. But instead of writing a big if statement, I've used the switch statement, and this is what is going on. So the expression is switch values of tool type. So give me all the values of my type column in the tool table for this particular cell. And if the value is sum, if the value is revenue, do sum of revenue. If the value is target, do calculate the target. Use this expression. If it's revenue to target, subtract one from the other. And now, this is the next opportunity to win one of the copies of my book. What happens when you put this in pivot tables? Does anyone know? You'll probably get an error. No. Not quotes. Anyone else? Except Marco? Okay, I'll share it. Oh, this mouse. You get an error. Be careful what you wish for. You've asked, give me the values of this type column in the tool table. But every visualization tool, whether it be Excel or Power View, has a grand total row. And this grand total row will not have one value for this particular column. This will have multiple values for this column. And Dax gets confused about that. It doesn't know what to do. So it says, hey, a table of multiple values was supplied, where a single value was expected. So usually when you're using values function, make sure you check for more than one in the current context. And this is important in many cases. For example, if you want to calculate year-over-year growth, make sure you check if it's actually 1 year that is being selected. Otherwise, you get weird results. So lots of checks are often in place to make sure you're getting the right results. Because you, as a measure author, makes an assumption that a measure is being used in a particular context, but you don't know what your end users are doing. So they can put it in the context that you didn't expect. And if you don't check and if you don't think about it up front, you might get results that you're not expecting, or you get errors like this. So it's really often really, really good to start really thinking about what is the context that this can be used in, and how can I prevent my users getting into trouble? So what I usually do is something like this. It's where I actually really check, and we'll see more examples of this later on, that I really check, okay, this measure, I expect it to be used here. And I expect it to be used that only a single value of my column is being selected. So in this case, it says, if my tool table, my type column, only has one value, execute this argument. The if statement has a silent else. If you don't provide the else statement, it will automatically return blank. And blank in Excel and in Power View both mean I'm not showing this particular cell. So it's silent. So you don't have to provide this. So use has one value if you want to check this thing. There are many more like this. So what can I do with the filter context? How can I access what is there? And there are many, many interesting cases. The first thing that you want to do is, okay, how can I reference a table? And what's the difference between the two? Well, in this case, the product and values of product is the same. But values, they both will automatically give you the values with all the filter context applied. So if you ask for count of rows of a table, it will only give you the count of rows of the table that's automatically be filtered by filter context. When you actually say values of table column, again, this will only give me the values for a particular table, for a particular column where filter context is applied. Again, if I ask for give me the count rows of my invoice table and of my invoice column, it will only give me those who are automatically already filtered. Under the covers, again, syntax sugar is being applied. What is happening here is it automatically makes this into summarize, values of the entire table, and where I want to group by my table column. That's actually what's happening under the covers. You never see this or hear this, but this is what it's actually doing. And you see there's a small difference between this values and distinct. Distinct will actually say summarize table, comma, table column. And this shows the difference between using product straight up or using values of something. A And this is also the difference that you see here between values and distinct. The difference, and the only difference is, and a very, very small difference is that when you use distinct, it will only give you the actual values that are inside this column. But it does include any foreign key errors. So if you have, for example, you ask for, give me all the product keys in my product table, and it has, or in my invoice table, and you have products that are not using the foreign key, DAX will automatically return an empty row, and that will be added to this row. So you get one more value returned for foreign key errors. Values will not give you that. Values will actually give you the only values that exist inside the memory of inside the VertiPack engine. Some other very interesting things, very interesting scenarios that you can use things for is filters. Give me the filters that are being applied. What years are being selected? What years are being filtered? I can use the filters argument to actually check. For example, have you actually filtered on 2010? Have you filtered on the current year? Those kinds of things, those kinds of scenarios are possible. Is cross-filtered and is filtered, I'll come to that in a second. The other one is has one value. And has one value is what we just showed. What this thing is doing give me the count rows of my values table, of the values of everything inside this column. And if that is one, return true. This is the way we used to write it when Power Baby just came out. Has one value is, again, syntax sugar we put on later to make our life easier. Has one filter is the same. The only thing is, instead of values, we use filters. So let's take a look at two very interesting examples. Let's look at is cross-filtered and is filtered. What did those two do? So let's switch over to cross-filtered. And again, I want to add region. Region, I'm going to add my sum of revenue. I'm going to add is region filtered. Oh, and I'm also going to add country. So this DAX expression asks, is filtered regions column for my political geography table? And you will see that these are all true, and these two are false. What does this mean? When you ask where is filtered, it's going to look at, is a direct filter being applied? So if you look at these columns, these rows are all directly filtered by the region. So directly filtered means, is it being filtered directly on this column? Now, if I ask for cross-filtered, and then you will see the difference between the two, you'll see that top one is also returning true. In this case, what I've asked for is cross-filtered region column of my political geography table. What does cross-filtered mean, and what does filtered mean? The difference between the two is cross-filtered will look at if this column that you're applied as an argument is being cross-filtered by anything inside your table. So it can be either a cross-filter that's being applied all the way into in a different table, but because DAX automatically follows the relationships, as we saw in the earlier examples, it automatically knows that, hey, if I use the USA, it's automatically filtered by my region as well. So with cross-filtered, I can see, is any filter being applied by this table? Yes or no? And this can be really helpful in a lot of the interesting cases. I can give you one more example. And for example, what I've done now is, and here I've asked for, is the value for my invoice table cross-filtered? And you will see everything has been set to true again. So now we see that even in a different table, the filters are being applied by year, by country and region, and this cross-filter is being applied true for everything. So you can check if a filter is being applied, either directly or indirectly. This can be very useful in a lot of the scenarios, especially when you think about the many-to-many cases and those kinds of things. This will become really interesting. So these are the two expressions that I used. is region filtered, is filtered political geography region, and is region cross-filtered, is cross-filtered political geography region. Okay, automatic time filters. This is something that I use in almost any of the DAX workbooks that I create. I don't create as much as you guys do, probably do, but I still create a few. What I love is when you create reports for someone, they probably want to see values of the current month, the current year. That's what they always want to see, and they always want to see the current year selected, and you want to see the total year to date until the current year, or you want to see the current month and then compare it to the previous year, those kinds of things. It can be quite a hassle to have to change that, but in this case, I created a filter that automatically is getting set by the current year. And I'll show you how this works. So let's drag in year a month. Let's drag in my sum of revenue. But now I'm selecting this filter called current month. I'm going to set it to current month is 1. Probably hard to see, but current month is 1. Now it automatically selects only 1 month inside this table. When I now come in, next month, a new data comes in, I refresh the model, it automatically switches to 2012-12. When new data comes in next month, it automatically switches. So you never have to change this pivot table again. It always sets it to the current month. And you can do all kinds of interesting things here. You can maybe always give me the last 6 months. You can do a very similar thing that I'm going to show you now for last 6 months, last 12 months, and that is really helpful if you want to do visualizations, spark lines, those kinds of things. Okay, so how did this work, and what did I do? So now we're going to look at row context. What is row context, and how can you use it? In this case, I have the date table here that I'm showing, and you see the years and the months and the dates, and this is the calculated column that I created called current month. And the calculated column that I created is this particular expression that you see on the left-hand side. If year equals year of absolute last invoice, date, which is a measure, and month is equal to month of absolute last invoice, return a 1, or rest return a 0. So what happens is that this expression gets evaluated and executed for every row inside this table. And what this thing is doing is comparing year, and then you see me referencing year column, and the year that I'm referencing there will always return to me the value of the current row that I'm in. That's why I can reference these cells, these columns inside a row context, inside a calculated column. You cannot do this inside a measure that's going to be executed inside the filter context, because that's going to give you an error. It's going to tell me, I don't know which context you want to do this in. Please do an aggregate function or something like that, because so I can figure out what you want. But in row context, that is different. But I do can reference measures here. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying this is my absolute last invoice date, the one on the right. This is a time intelligence function, so I'm going to come back later on what it really means. But what I'm doing here is give me the last date of invoice, my invoice table, my dates that are in the invoice table, where for the entire invoice table. So this will always return the last date. So when I press refresh, a new data comes in, it will always return 4-2 next time around, or 5-1 next time around. And that will automatically change this calculated column, because every calculated column is executed when a refresh has run. After the refresh has run, a new data is coming in, calculated columns will automatically be refreshed, a new data comes in, and automatically, the next row will probably switch to 1. Now, automatically, your pivot table will get refreshed next, or your power view gets refreshed next, and your report is all automatically showing the right values. So what it is comparing now is, it's comparing 2012-4 with the value that you see in the bottom hand right, 4-2012. And this returns in a 1. That is what row context is. Row context applied in a calculated column. This is pretty straightforward, and you can kind of understand what's going on. These are the two expressions that I used, just for reference. Now things get a little bit more interesting. You can actually manually add rows to row context. And the numbers of row context is 0 to n, how many rows you have in a table. But you can use table scanning functions to add new rows to context. For example, sum x. The sum or the anything x functions are really useful functions, but they put things in row context for you. Filter, generate, those kinds of things. You can start calculating expressions in row context. What does this mean? Let me give you an example. This is one that I use a lot. So let me get rid of these two. Let me add region here. So what I now want to do is compare the sales of my revenue for each region against the average of all the other regions. Right? That might be an interesting thing that I want to calculate. And how do I get the average of all the regions? Well, I can try to do this. Let me do revenue amount. Let's drag it in. And it's supposed to do something. Yeah. Here it goes. Sum of revenue amount. I can change that into an average. This is not the average for the central. And this is not the total average amount. What is happening here is, because I'm doing an average, it will actually go and take an average of all the rows inside the invoice table for that particular cell. It does not do an average of the total, of the grouped values, because that's what I really want. What I want is what you can very simply do in Excel is I can do this, and you can already see the average here, 5.9 million. That is what I want. So I want to group my sum of revenue, and I want to execute that for every region, and then I want to do an average over on top of that. And we can do that in DAX. I can drag it in, and now you see the value, 5.9 million. How did I get to do this? How do I get this value? And the first thing that you need to do is I want to group the sum of sales amount, sum of revenue, by every region. And how do I do this? By putting things in my own row context. Let's switch back and let's take a quick look. So this is the expression that I'm using. Average X, all political geography region, comma, sum of revenue. The thing to take notice here is I'm using the all function. And the all function will mean give me all the rows inside this table. Ignore filter context. And again, this thing is a little bit of syntax sugar. Under the covers, it's actually doing calculate values, comma, but this is the easiest thing to write it. Give me an average for every row inside the political geography region using the sum of revenue. And what it actually looks like is this is what's happening inside the engine. It creates a table in memory, and it populates it with all the values inside from the first argument. And this can be a simple column, but you can do many more things here. You can actually create your own table. You can do really interesting things here. This is a simple example. What happens is it now calculates the sum of revenue, the second argument, for every row in the first argument that came out of the first argument. So it calculates for central, east, north, south, west, the sum of revenue. The interesting thing to notice here is the filter context stays intact. The filter context for everything else except the region. For example, if you have, and you saw that in my example earlier, I still have my current month filter set. So it still is selecting the current month. It does not override any other filter context. So normal filter context still applies to this calculation. So now, when it has calculated the sum of revenue for all these regions, it does an average over that, and that's what the end result is going to be. So you see the average for each and every, you see the average for this in each and every cell. Now you can create a new measure where you compare one against the other and see the percentage that came out of it. So row context is pretty complex. There's also a lot of very simple examples. Why row context? Because there's also these very simple, I just wanted to put this in here. Some people came up to me earlier and asked me, why do we have something like calculated columns? What is the what is the added value here? Because sometimes it gets a little bit confusing. Well, if you want to do some very simple things. So in this case, I want to create a new column. It just concatenates the year and the month as a value inside the calculated table. So just reference the two columns, concatenate them, and you get a new column with these new values. These new values will be stored in the memory, and they will be there just like any other normal column. Okay, another very interesting thing. This is another thing where we, the product team, tries to become smart. And I think we probably have to, but so what would happen, and if anyone knows the answer here, I could give them a version of the book. If anyone knows the answer here is, what happens when we do sum of invoice revenue month? What do we get? Yep, everything. It was first, grand total. You can get that version. So what you see is the grand total. And why is that? And what happens here is you get the grand total because we're in row context. And in row context, because we want to do the previous example where we can just simply reference cells inside these columns and get the actual, not have to use any functions and just be able to reference the measures, it does not use any relationship. It doesn't know anything about filter context. The only context that is being applied is the context for a single row. And once you start talking about other tables, which I'm doing here, it is not doing that. It does not use my relationships. So it just gives me sum of invoice revenue amount. Now things become interesting. Because when you create a measure that you call sum of invoice revenue amount, and you put that in here, you get different results. What? It looks very similar. This is a case where it's not very logical, but we try to be smart. What happens is when you write a measure, like sum of invoice revenue amount into a measure, we, the product team, automatically wrap it around with a calculate. And when you do that, when you wrap something around with calculate, it automatically moves from row context to filter context. Now, when we're in filter context, you're not able to reference any of these values in the row inside this current in the same table, but you are able to do anything else. So, for example, now it actually knows what are the values of the invoice table that belong, that following the relationships to this particular cell in here. It is not 100% logical. You have to know it, and then it actually kind of makes sense. But that's how you can, if you want to do things like this, you have to either create a measure or wrap it around with calculate, which is giving you kind of the same result. Okay, my favorite, time intelligence functions. This one gets really interesting. So what I want to do is I want to do year-over-year growth. So I'm going to add year. I'm going to add month. I'm going to add sum of revenue. And I'm going to add revenue of previous year. And I can add my year-over-year growth as well. So what happens here is I've used the very simple time intelligence functions to, say, calculate the year-over-year growth. And to calculate the year-over-year growth, I need to be able to get the previous year of the current cell. So in this case, what I have is for 2011-1, this is my current value. This is my previous year. And you can see it's the same as this one. 28 million, 28 million. We have a negative growth, minus 7. How do I do this and how do I get here? And how does it really work? So let's switch back. Let's take a look at it. So this is the expression that I wrote. Looks pretty simple. There's lots that came that went in front of this. So the first thing that it is, again, I use my HAS1 value because I want to make sure that you only have a single year selected. Otherwise, things get very confused and complex in a hurry. So if there's only a single year selected, calculate the sum of revenue. And for the sum of revenue, use the previous year. And use the date table date column to calculate this. And this is important. This is very interesting. Why do we need this and what's going on? Again, syntax sugar is being added here. So instead of previous year, this is what we actually do. Date add date table date minus 1 year. That's not too interesting. What is happening and how does this thing work? So again, we start with sum of revenue. This is the normal thing that happens automatically. We have the date table selected, 2012-2. We have the invoice table. Again, same thing, filter context being applied. Now we're going into creating local context, and we do previous year. Previous year is from a special category, time intelligence functions. And that special category, if you want to use them, you have to follow the rules. If you do not follow the rules, things go bad in a hurry. And the rules are create a separate date table, either use relationships that have actual dates in the fact table and in the date table, or mark the table as date table in the date table. Make sure you have a continuous date range. Make sure that your measures, let's say you want to do some forecasting or you want to do some hindcasting, make sure you have enough data in your date table. And I'll show you why in a second. Those are the most important ones. So what is going on? How does this work? So what happens is, the first thing that we do is determine the date range. And we determine the date range. So in my expression, in my time intelligence function, I told Dax that the date column that I want you to use is from the date table date. So that's the one that's being highlighted here. And I want to expand it. So because we've selected 2012-2 on rows, it will automatically determine the range by doing a min and a max of that column. And it's using the min and the max to determine what the date range is. It is smart enough to understand that when you have leap years and such, that things might be a little different. It's smart in that regards because it's using those values. Because what it's doing is when you move back 1 year in time, it automatically knows that 2012-2 previous year actually has more values in the previous year. But what it does is determine a date range. It automatically ignores any filter set on the date table. If you remember the previous example that we had where we set last date in the calculated column, we had to do some special magic there. And the special magic that we had to do there is because we're using time intelligence functions. If you're using time intelligence functions, things become interesting. We were just talking about it, Marco and I, about a very simple example is what happens when you do date add minus 1 year on the today function. And the today function gives me the current day. And the current day is not a date table. It doesn't know how to go back in time and go see what you want to do. So, and that's what the next thing is. What it will do is, we said, move back the date range 1 year in time. It won't move back in time because if it doesn't know what the previous year is. So what it actually do is move back in time inside the date table. And the other most important thing to remember is the date range is what determines the values, not the original context. And what that means is if you look at on the right, and let's move one more. So now I've moved back in time, and you see it used the table on the left, 2011-2, 2-1-2011, and 2-28-2011, and get the values in the date in the invoice table for those particular rows. But the thing to notice here on the bottom is the original table, the invoice table, only has 2-1-2012 as values, but the year before actually also has 2-3-2011 as values. And it picked that up because it's using the date table. It's not using the values in the invoice table. And that's why it's so important to, first of all, have a separate date table, and that's because of two reasons. Because it also ignores any filters being set on it. So if you have any, if you were to use a value inside the invoice table, it will automatically override any filters on the invoice table. You get into a lot of trouble. But the second thing is this continuous date range that you need to have. And this is the reason why it's important. Because if you do not have a continuous date range, you might miss values. Let's say you have sales in 2012 only in done on 2-1, but the previous year you also had sales in 2-3, you would miss them, or the other way around. So that's one of the most important things, is make sure you have a continuous date range. And again, the date range on the left is what determines the values, not the original context. And this is the eventual year-over-year growth expression that I wrote. Sum of revenue, year-over-year percentage, equals, if not as blank, sum of revenue. And what I'm doing with this thing is a previous year calculation will also give me values in the future. Because next year, I will have previous year. I don't want it to return any values. So what I'm doing here is when you actually have, when the sum of revenue is not empty, give me year-over-year growth. Otherwise, just don't, because I don't care about those values in the future. The other interesting thing to notice here is I'm using the divide function. And although it's not 100% part of this session, I really want to call that out is, if you have the latest version of Power Pivot, either in SQL Server 2012 on Office 2010 or Excel 2013, try to use the divide function as much as possible. There are two big reasons for it. If you use the divide operator, you can get into trouble and you can get a performance hit. You can get into trouble by either if you have a null reference exception, so one of the values is zero and you divide by zero exception, DAX will give you an error because, hey, it's a divide by zero. That's not allowed. So it will give you an error. You can work around that by wrapping this calculation around with the if error function, which we used to do. That's what we did all the time because we said, if there's an error in this function, return blank. That is the most expensive thing our engine has to do because error messages are usually very, very, very expensive. And in this case, imagine you have 7 billion rows. It goes through every row inside this table. You have to divide by zero 400 times. It has to throw error messages 400 times. It has to catch those error messages 400 times. Performance will go downhill very fast. The divide function is a smart function because it's a safe divide. It will automatically make sure that if there is an error message, if there is a divide by zero error, we will just ignore it and continue. So it will give you, especially over large data sets when you do divides, it also simplifies your life because usually you want to do a safe divide. Usually you don't want to get an error when there is actually a null in there. So this is how you do year-over-year growth. Okay, let's look at our last example. 4-4-5 table. How do you fix this thing? Because we've seen those cool time intelligence functions and those kinds of things. They all don't work when you have 4-4-5 table. And why don't they work? And there are many of these examples. What you can see here is we have a date table, and I have a date, and I have a 4-4-5 period. And a 4-4-5 period is usually used in the retail industry, where they actually want to make sure that all the periods align, and the weeks always need to start on either a Sunday or another. In Europe, they usually start on a Monday, because Sunday, at least in the Netherlands, all the stores are closed. I know it's interesting that they don't do that in the US, but in the Netherlands they do. So everything starts on Monday. And if you want to compare week-over-week growths and those kinds of things, you want to make sure that those all align. Or month-over-month, do you want to make sure that those all align and start? If your new month starts on a Saturday, you get weird comparisons. So this makes the comparisons more equal. But it's hard because if you look at it here, they don't align. Because you see the month is actually not being set up by an actual date. It's being set up by a combination of two things, date and maybe the day of the week or those kinds of things. And there are many other examples about this as well. But you can see 8/26 is, these are fiscal months and these are fiscal 4-4-5 months. So they actually make it a little bit more interesting as well. But you can see this is the month 2 in the fiscal year of 2012. But it is the month 3 in my 4-4-5 month because this is a Monday. Time intelligence functions will get completely crazy when they start doing those things. You cannot use them, but you can use context to your advantage. Yeah, I'll come back to this one in a second. So let me show you what it actually looks like. So let's drag in year, let's drag in month. Let's drag in sum of revenue. Let's drag in, oh, sorry, I shouldn't have dragged in year and month. I should have dragged in the 445. 445 year, 445 month. And you see the sum of revenue still works, of course, because there's nothing special about this. There are no time intelligence functions. So filter context will just be applied, and that's great. But as soon as you start using, let me use the measure that we created previously using time intelligence functions. Let's drag it in. It still looks, oh, you already, let me see, there's somewhere down here where things start going haywire. So 2011, month 6, this is the actual sum of revenue. But if you go to 2012-6, this is the value. Doesn't make any sense anymore because you're using time intelligence function, but the dates are all screwed up. We get very weird results. You cannot use the time intelligence functions. But we can use a function that I created manually using row context to my advantage. That will give me the right results. So how do they do this? How do I get here? Other mouse. So what you can do here is sum of revenue for the same month of previous year. Again, the thing that makes want to make sure of is make sure you check if there's only one 445 year and 445 month selected, otherwise you get into a lot of trouble. And I'm going to create local context for my sum of revenue where I want to say, calculate the sum of revenue, take into consideration all the rows in the date table, where date table year is equals to values date table 445 year minus 1. And what I'm doing here is I'm getting the value. In this case, it's getting me 2011. That's the current selected cell. And I want to actually see the previous year. So I'm just doing 2011 minus 1. This is 2010. Now, all the rows inside the date table where the year is equal to the value of 2010 will get returned. But I want to make sure that the same month is still selected. And because we blew away the entire filters on the date table by using old date table, we need to reapply that filter. And the reapply the filter I'm doing by saying where date table 445 month is equals to values of date table 445 month. So the interesting thing is we are manually reapplying the outside context to my local context. Things get a little bit confusing here, but that is important to recognize. You are creating local context inside the calculated with the first argument. And you're overriding the entire context. The second thing is you're doing date table 445 years equals to values date table years minus 1 and date table 445 months. So we're putting the context back in. Give me 1 second. We're almost out of slides, and then we can start asking do some questions. So 445 years. You can use the context to your own advantage. You do not use time intelligence functions in these scenarios. Yeah, so I just showed you. So some of the related content. Let's start answering some questions first. There's a question over there.
And that was a really good example of 445 table. In a lot of places, you have more than just calendar and physical table. You might have a customer table. You've got multiple kind of data. Is there a way to dynamically take that field so that I can use the database value to generate the necessary space in the calendar?
So you're talking about automatically generating the date tables, or?
Well, you have your date table, but let's say instead of just a 445 period, you might have, well, I have 10 customers, and 3 of them have their own unique calendar. So I have to implement them as data points where I go back in the dynamic expression, not just a hard field.
So the question here is, there are customers who have their own separate date tables as compared to as date table inside a model. I would think that it's going to be pretty complex. I'm sure you could figure it out, but I haven't seen the actual examples of those kinds of things. The only thing that I would probably say is if you can have some, yeah, I think that's going to be, I mean, it's no, I mean, you can do all those things as long as you have those tables inside the model. If you want to do it dynamically, it's becoming really, really hard. And especially, how do you make sure that you're not comparing apples with oranges? Because if you select the wrong customers, you get now values from this particular date table with this particular date table. That's going to be an interesting modeling exercise. No, you cannot do that. Because that would kill our... So the question is, can you actually point back to the original SQL and actually get the values from there? We could allow that. We do allow that in multidimensional, for example. But it would kill performance in Tabular. Because everything is in memory, everything is in column store. That would just be disastrous for any memory. So the question is, so the divide function is not recognized in the data tools. I would say maybe you need to update. Okay. So I would say we need to update to the SDT for Visual Studio 2012. It definitely will be there. Okay. The latest version is available on the website. If you wait 2 more weeks, you will get the one for 2013. Right. And that's the latest and greatest. Unfortunately, some mix-ups there, but it's going to be there in about 2 weeks. Yeah, it should be there. Any other questions? No, I'll be here after the session. I'll be at the booth later, and I'll be at the booth tomorrow again, so feel free to ask me any questions. Thank you very much. And you can stay here for Marco's session.